We'll be turning to Acts chapter number 2, the second chapter of the book of Acts. The story of the prodigal son that Ray sang about has been said by some to be the greatest story that's ever been told. And Jesus told the story in Luke's gospel. Luke records it for us. And the main point of the story is that when sinners realize that they've sinned against God and repent, that the Father will love them and receive them and forgive them and make them His own children. And what we see in a story, we see in reality in Acts chapter number 2. And that is, the Bible tells us there about a people who have gravely sinned against God. As a matter of fact, sin has so corrupted and so blinded their minds and their hearts that the Messiah, who was right there in the midst of them, they didn't even know Him and didn't recognize Him, would not receive Him, but instead rejected Him. They're the very ones who were the ones who were crying out, "Crucify Him," the very ones who turned Him over into the hands of the Romans to be crucified on the cross. And they're there that day, many of them, on the day of Pentecost. And as they hear Peter begin to preach a message on that day, the Bible tells us that they became deeply aware of their sin. Like the prodigal son, they came to themselves. They began to realize what sinners that they were. As they realize that Jesus is indeed the Christ, they realize that they've crucified their own Messiah. Peter preached to them and explained to them that the one that they had turned over to the Romans to be crucified, God has raised Him from the dead, and that He is alive, ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, and He has exalted, He is Lord and Christ at the right hand of the Father, and He was their own Messiah, and that they have rejected Him. They realize their sin, and they realize that they are under the judgment of God, and deservingly so, having crucified the Son of God. And as they became aware of that, the Bible says in verse 37 of this chapter that they were pricked in their hearts. And they began to cry out in desperation, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, how should we respond? We're sinners and we deserve the judgment of God. We've crucified the Messiah, the Christ one. And what should we do?" And Peter told them the same thing that was illustrated in that story of the prodigal son. He told them that they needed to repent. That is, they need to turn from their sin and they need to turn to God. And if they would repent, and if they had turned to God, God would forgive their sin and would give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did. They repented. They turned to Christ that day. 3,000 of them that day turned to the Lord, and their sin was forgiven. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit and were baptized a little while after, shortly thereafter. 3,000 people that turned to Christ that day. And I tell you that that was just the beginning. It was certainly not the end. And I remember whenever I got saved as a 13-year-old boy, I thought, boy, it's all over now. But I found out that while it was the end, it was only the beginning end. And that is that God wanted me to grow and had other things in mind now that I was His and His child and belonged to Him. And He wanted me to grow and progress and move forward now as a believer in the Christian life. Just like a little baby that is born, and that little baby grows and develops, even so we do as well. As newborn babes in Christ who've been born again from the moment of our new birth, God's purpose is for us to grow and to progress. And I love this passage of Scripture in Acts 2 because it reveals to us the main areas and the most important areas in which these believers progressed or moved forward from the time of their conversion. If you ever ask yourself the question, what does God have in mind for me as a child of God? What is God trying to do in my life? And what is God's purpose for my life? What is God trying to develop in my life? We don't have to look any further than this passage of Scripture to begin to see unfolded before us the priorities of the believer and the important areas of the New Testament church and those areas in which God wants us to grow and in which God wants you and I to be able to progress or move forward. One of the areas that we've discovered that they progressed in is in the area of evangelism. That is, in sharing the gospel with those who are not saved. We know that, of course, there were 3,000 saved that day, but the Bible tells us in the last verse of this chapter that the Lord saved daily, that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so there was ongoing evangelism. And those who got saved, guess what they were doing? They were telling other people about Jesus. And listen to me now, you don't have to be saved but just about 1 second to be able to tell somebody about what God did for you when He saved you. Amen. And when you start telling people about Jesus and what God did when He saved you, then you are growing and progressing in evangelism. And they did. God God used these early New Testament believers, beginning in Jerusalem and then expanding the gospel into Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, they grew or progressed in the area of evangelism. We also described that they not only were growing in the area of evangelism, but also they were progressing in the area of doctrine. We discovered in verse number 42 of this chapter that the Bible tells us there that those who got saved continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we discovered that what that means is this, is that they stayed right there in Jerusalem. That is, instead of going back home to their homes and all different places around the world, they stayed right there in Jerusalem because that's where the apostles were, and they wanted to be taught the Word of God. They wanted to grow in the Word. They wanted to sit and listen to the apostles teach. They gathered together at the temple, and they gathered there with the apostles, and the apostles taught them. They gathered in houses from house to house, and the apostles would meet with them, and they also would teach them there. But their desire was to grow in the Word, to progress in the Word, and we discovered last Sunday that that's God's purpose for us as well, and that is He wants to grow us in the Word. We also discovered this past Wednesday that they progressed in fellowship, and we discovered that God gave them some things in common, and the commonality that they had in Christ was important to them, and they grew in their fellowship with each other as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we began discovering in the service this morning that they progressed in prayer. The Bible tells us here in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and also the last three words, and in prayers. That is, we discover that one of the things that the apostles taught them as they were sitting and listening to the teaching of the doctrine of the apostles is that the apostles taught them about prayer. The reason why the apostles taught them about prayer is because Jesus had taught the apostles about prayer. And we looked at some verses this morning where our Lord taught them about the importance of prayer and how to pray. And the Lord revealed to them where prayer was to fit in their lives. And we find that the apostles now are teaching them the same thing. And that is, as they sit and listen to them, they're teaching them how that they can walk with God in prayer. And apparently, that's what they had been doing. Acts 1 tells us that the 120, after the ascension of Christ, gathered together and they were continuing in prayer. The Bible tells us after the day of Pentecost in Acts 4, we see the church gathered together to pray. And God, the Holy Spirit, moved in such a powerful way that the place where they was gathered together, it literally began to shake. We discovered in Acts 6 that the apostles themselves gave themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And so praying was an important part of the life of the New Testament church. And we tried to cover that in the service this morning. And one of the things that I mentioned to you is that when I'm talking about praying, I'm not talking about saying our prayers. I'm not talking about repeating words. But what I'm talking about is you and I experiencing the reality of God's presence in prayer. Listen, my desire for you as believers, those who've received Christ into your life and who know Him, is for you to grow spiritually in your life, and one of the areas that you have to grow in is in the area of experiencing God in prayer. I would not want to motivate you just to say prayers as words that go no higher than your voice is heard, but I'm talking about really experiencing God in prayer. One of the most transformative events in your life is when you experience God alone in your prayer closet, alone with Him in prayer. I want you to know Him. I want you to draw near to Him. I want you to experience God in a real way in your personal life now that you are saved. And I want it to be just about going to church and going through the motions of just singing the songs and listening to me preach and then go home. I want you to draw near to God, and I want you to know Him and experience the reality of His presence in your life. And for that reason, the idea of prayer is vital, and it is important. And so we looked at some examples of that this morning, and I hope that I whet your appetite a little bit. That is, as we looked at the example of the New Testament church, as they walked with God in prayer, as they experienced God in prayer, God showed up when they prayed. The Spirit of God moved as they gathered together and prayed, literally shaking the place and filling them and dominating them and working in them and through them. And some of you may be a little bit like me, and you may ask yourselves, how can we have that kind of a growing, that kind of a prayer life that is progressing? I want to progress in prayer. So how can I do that? How can I progress in prayer. I'm going to suggest to you and mention a few things to you this evening that I hope will be able to be a help to you, some principles about progressing in prayer. There's just a few of them, and I'll try to move as quickly as I can. One of the things that I've noticed is this, is that those who are progressing in prayer, they understand what I would call the privilege of prayer. They understand the privilege of prayer. What I mean by that is this. They understand that praying is not just an obligation that I have to do, but it is a privilege for me to be able to walk into God's presence, to be able to experience God in prayer. That one of the greatest privileges of our lives is to be able to experience the presence of God in prayer. Let me just read to you what Jesus told his disciples in the upper room just a few hours before he was arrested and crucified over in John chapter number 14. Listen to the words of our Lord in verse number 22. The Bible says in verse number 23, Jesus said, if any man love me, the Bible says that he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and we'll come to him and make our abode with him. It's talking about personal fellowship and a relationship with God, that God loves us and that we have a love relationship with him. And that relationship that we have with God is a relationship that has to do with our prayer life, that is with walking with God in prayer. Look at verse number 13 of this chapter. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. The idea of drawing near to God, the idea of abiding in him and abiding in his love is connected to our prayer life. You'll see that in the next chapter in John 15 and verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you're going to walk with God, if you're going to experience the reality of God's presence, you're going to have to experience it in prayer. And what a privilege that is. That is, it is a privilege for you and I to be invited into the presence of God through prayer. One of the greatest privileges of your life is this privilege of being able to enjoy the presence of God in prayer alone with God. Listen to me now. Many of you have been blessed in many ways in your life. You've experienced many privileges in your life. And we've been blessed in many ways. All of us have. And from time to time, you might stop and think about all the ways that God has blessed you. You might think about the material things that you possess. You might think about your air conditioner that keeps your house cool. And you might think about the car that you drive, the house that you live in, the clothes that you wear. You might think about your family, your spouse, your children, other people that you love and you care about. But I want to say to you that one of the greatest privileges that God has given every one of us who are saved is the opportunity and the privilege of experiencing his presence in prayer. It may be one of the greatest privileges you have in your life. Now listen, if you're going to progress in prayer, then you have to understand that. That is, you got to get a hold of that idea. That is, looking at prayer as one of the great privileges of my life. That is, to be able to experience God and walk with God in prayer. If you'll begin to understand it that way, I believe that it'll help you in the area of being motivated to get alone with God in prayer. Not to waste my privilege. That is, not to let things distract me from my privilege. That praying is one of the great privileges of my life. Those who progress in prayer, they understand that. They understand the privilege of prayer. Any time a prayer meeting is going on here at church, you are privileged to be invited. We'll say that again. Any time that we're praying here at the church, it is a privilege for you to be invited and an even greater privilege for you to accept that invitation and come and meet with believers and seek God in prayer. It is a privilege, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm trying to get across to you is how it is that you and I can be progressing in the area of prayer. Those who progress in prayer, they understand the privilege of prayer. Let me mention a second thing to you, and that is that those who are progressing in prayer, they also understand the priority of prayer. They not only understand that prayer is a privilege that God has given us in Christ, that this access that we have before God is access that is based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ had to die for our sins, deal with our sin problem at the cross in order for us to have this access into the presence of God, and what a privilege that is. But I tell you, it also should be understood, prayer should be understood as the priority of our lives. That is, because of the privilege that is ours, it is one of the most important areas of our lives. There are many people who are believers who simply do not prioritize prayer in their life. That is, there are those who are Christians who maybe go for days and don't pray, or maybe weeks, or maybe there's some that have gone for months without ever having a meaningful time alone with God in prayer. And there are many whose prayer lives are nothing more than just repeating words and phrases and expressions of wishes, but never really get a hold of God and never really experience the presence of God and never really experience fellowship with Him. Their prayer life is dead and dry. And one of the reasons why is because we just simply don't understand the privilege of prayer, and we don't understand the priority of prayer, that praying is a priority in all of our lives. That is, it's something that is important in our lives. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot more important than a lot of other things in our lives. That is, this is a priority for me. Now listen to me, you have priorities in your life. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean by priorities. I mean those things that are really important to you. That is, those things that are important to you are things that you spend some time doing, that you invest some time in because they're important to you. And some of those things are things you don't even think about. For example, for some of you, it's important to, you know, take a shower and smell good. Amen. Instead of not taking a shower and not smelling good. And so it's a priority in your life. As a matter of fact, I would dare say that for many that are here, probably one of the first things that you do whenever you get up in the morning is that you take a shower. And the reason why is because, first of all, it's important to you to be clean. And secondly, in order to get you woke up. Amen. So a shower and a cup of coffee and it kind of gets you woke up and maybe gets you going a little bit. But it's important enough for you to do every day whenever you get up. I wonder if prayer should not be at least as important as a shower. Shouldn't it be for the life of a believer? That it shouldn't be a priority enough in our life, that it ought to be something that we would want to be engaged in on a daily basis, maybe early in the day, maybe even before we take a shower, maybe even before we roll out of bed, that we just spend some time alone with God and seeking God in prayer. It ought to be a priority in our life. Now let me just say this to you. Those who prioritize prayer in their life, the reason why they prioritize prayer in their life is because of what they believe. That is, the place that prayer has in our life, the level of priority that it has in our life, is a reflection of what we believe. Here's what I mean by that. Those who have prayer as a real priority in their life, it's really important to them, it's because of what they believe. They believe, many of them believe, that they are dependent upon God and that they need Him every day of their life. That is, there's been times in your life when praying has probably been more important than it is at other times. And those times when it has really become important to you is when you're going through a time in your life where you really, really need God. You need His help, you need His direction, and you're going through a trial, you're going through a difficult time, and you realize and you really believe, I need God, and so you begin to pray. Wouldn't it be great if you and I would just believe that all the time? Because you see, when we believe that I really need God, I need Him every day of my life. Then I begin to prioritize prayer. It becomes a little bit more important to me. When you begin to realize those who prioritize prayer, they just believe this. They believe that they need God's guidance in their life today. I need God to guide me today. They believe that they need God's protection in their life today. And that is, that there's an enemy that is out to distract them and do everything he can to destroy them. And I need God to protect me today. And they believe that they need God's provision today. I need God to provide today. I need His provision in my life. There are those who believe that they need fellowship with God every day, and so they get alone with God in prayer. It's because of what they believe that they make prayer a priority in their lives. Listen, those who don't believe that they need God every day may talk about prayer, but it'll never become a priority in their life. Along with our need for God, those who prioritize prayer in their lives also believe that prayer is the means by which they experience God's blessing in their life. You see, somehow we've gotten the idea that God's just going to bless me anyway, and He is going to bless you, but there are many blessings that you're going to miss out on if you don't pray. That prayer is the key to receiving what it is that God has for you. There are many things that God has for you as individually, for your family, and for us as a church that will only come through prayer. For example, we know that God blesses us with joy, and that joy comes through prayer. Right here in John's Gospel in chapter 16 and verse 24, listen to what Jesus said. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. Do you know that there is a connection between our experience of fullness of joy and our prayer life? There absolutely is. And those who understand that, those who believe that, that is that they know that God wants to bless them with joy, fullness of joy, and that the way to experience that joy is through prayer. And so you know what we do? Man, we get alone with God and we pray. That is that we also know that God wants to bless us with peace. And that our experience of peace also is connected to our prayer life. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to Paul in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Paul writes, be careful for nothing, which means don't be anxious about anything. Don't be full of anxiety. Now listen, you say, Pastor, that's impossible. If it was impossible, he would have not written it. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything but. And when you see a but, that means that what he is about to tell us is the opposite. The opposite of being anxious, he said, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Instead of being anxious, pray. Instead of worrying about all those things that you're worrying about, get alone with God and bring your requests to Him. Pray about those things in your life. And here's what will happen. Listen, if you'll pray and keep on praying, here's what will happen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, my mind is stressed and my heart, my soul is full of anxiety and I don't understand why. The reason why is because you have not been praying. The idea here is this, instead of worrying, I can go to God in prayer. And I know that if I can get everything surrendered to God, you'll know when you've got it surrendered to God, because there will be that peace that passes all understanding. Now listen, those who prioritize prayer in their life, the reason why prayer is so important to them and a priority in their life is because they know that. That is, they know if they're going to live and walk in peace, they know that if they're going to be full of joy, that they can't carry around anxiety and worry and fear and all of those things on the inside, and that the only way to deal with those things as believers is to get them to the throne of God and get them surrendered to our sovereign Lord. That's right. See, those who prioritize prayer, they do so because they know and believe that God wants to bless them. And that what God wants to bless them with can only be received through prayer. Listen to this verse in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 7. You know this verse. Ask and it shall be given you. Say, Pastor, there's some things I need. Then get to asking. Seek and you will find. Hey, start knocking and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is telling us in the Sermon on the Mount, listen, that God blesses us and provides what we need, and He does it through the avenue of prayer. Amen? He sure does. You say, well, Pastor, there's some things I need, so I'm just going to pray about it, and then God will give it to me. Well, God might give you what you really need. You know what I found out? I found out that a lot of times what I think I need is not really what I need. But if I get to praying and get to walking with God in prayer, God does something on the inside of me, which is what I really needed, was His work, His development of my own character and my own attitude. He does that work on the inside of me, and I found out that what I thought was my need, I don't need at all. But what I needed, I got because I've been praying. Does that make sense to you? God will provide it. If you'll pray, the great needs of your life, God will bless you with if you'll seek Him in prayer. I love the way James worded this. Listen to what James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse number 2. He said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. And here's why. Because you ask not. That's right. Because you ask not. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. Those who are really progressing in prayer, they understand the priority of prayer. That prayer is a priority in my life. It is one of the most important areas of my life. And the reason why it's so important to them is because of what they believe. They believe that they desperately need God, His direction, and that the blessings of God in their life are connected to their prayer life. That the means by which we receive what it is that God wants to bless us with is through our prayer life. So if you and I are going to progress in prayer, we've got to understand this. We have to understand the privilege of prayer. The greatest privilege that you have in your life Folks, listen, is to come before God's presence in prayer. Listen, if you was to get a note from a call from the White House inviting you to come and meet the president, that would be a step down from the privilege that you have to enter into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in prayer. You need to understand what a great privilege you have in prayer. And I tell you, those who progress in prayer understand the priority of prayer. They understand that prayer is such an important part of their life. It is the means by which God works in their life, the means through which He blesses, the means through which God provides, the means by which God operates in our life is through our prayer life. Thirdly, those who are progressing in prayer understand the practice of prayer. In other words, what I mean, that is, they understand how to pray. They understand how to practice prayer in their life. That is, those who are progressing in prayer understand this. They understand that they've got to have a time where they set aside where they get alone with God each day in prayer. They've got to it's easy to maybe talk about prayer, isn't it? And it's easy maybe for a pastor to preach about prayer or a teacher to teach about prayer. But I tell you that the issue is whether or not we're practicing prayer. That's the issue. And those who understand the practice of prayer are those who get alone with God on a daily basis and begin to spend some time alone with Him in prayer. I'm talking about you setting aside time out of your day to get alone with God yourself in prayer. Now, nobody's going to do that for you. That's something that you have to do for yourself. In other words, I'm not going to be able to do that for you. Now, I can set aside times for us to gather here at the church to pray, and I do. But listen, as far as you getting alone with God, that's something you got to do yourself. And that is, you've got to be able to set that time alone to just get alone with God and spend time practicing prayer in your life. That's what the Bible tells us here in Acts 2:42. The Bible says that these disciples of our Lord, they continued steadfastly in prayer. That is, they set aside time to just get alone with God and to pray together, to pray individually and also together as a church fellowship. Don't you like what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians when he wrote those three words, pray without ceasing, at the end of the first letter to them? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In other words, he's saying you need to pray and you need to not stop praying. Don't just pray once in a while, but pray without ceasing. You need to pray every day, get alone with God on a daily basis and set aside that time to pray. Listen, getting alone with God in prayer is something that you and I are going to have to do if we're actually going to experience progression in our prayer life. Progressing in your prayer life is not just about hearing me preach about prayer. It's not just about understanding the concepts, the biblical concepts of prayer. But it's actually putting it into practice in your life. And that means you've got to set aside time for you to get alone with God, some unrushed time alone with God in prayer. You say, Pastor, you just don't know how busy my schedule is. I understand this. I understand that getting alone with God every day in prayer will require some sacrifice. It requires some sacrifice. That's right. I read in a commentary recently when I was doing some studying on this topic of prayer. I can't remember who it was that made this comment, but somebody said to him that in order for me to spend time in prayer, it would cost me the world. And he said, that's exactly what it's going to cost you if you're going to learn how to walk with God in prayer. You got to sacrifice some things. You may have to give up some of your involvement in certain activities and certain hobbies that you have to spend time with God in prayer. You say, Pastor, well, I don't want to give up anything. Then you'll never practice prayer in your life. You may have to give up some time that you spend recreationally in order to spend time alone with God in prayer. You may have to do what God's been trying to teach many of us how to do, and that is to turn off the television and to put down your computer or your phone because of something more important, and that is walking with God in prayer, setting some time alone with God. For many of us in the morning, we need to spend time alone with God in prayer. The Bible talks about that, the importance of getting up and spending some time alone with God in prayer, just walking with God in prayer. Now, I know that's going to require a little sacrifice. It means that, you know, instead of just getting up at the last minute, some of you are like this, aren't you? And that is, when it comes time to get up, that you wait till the very last. You've got this thing timed. It takes you exactly this amount of time in the shower, grab your breakfast. You know exactly, and you hope that there's no extra traffic on the roads, right? I mean, you know
what it takes. And you get up, you stay into the last, very last minute. And so in order to get up and spend some time in prayer is going to require some sacrifice, isn't it? It's going to require us to get to moving a little bit earlier, or maybe at the end of the day. And sometimes my most fruitful prayer times is at the end of the day when, you know, the phone has stopped ringing and everything is quiet and there's nothing going on. And just to be able to spend some time alone with God in prayer, seeking God and praying for others, it's such an important time. It requires some sacrifice in order to do that. And I tell you, if you're going to get alone with God and practice prayer, it's going to require some discipline. You know, there's some days that you're going to be so prompted and by the Holy Spirit to pray that everything on the inside of you is going to yearn to get alone with God and pray. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you like that, you ought to yield to His leadership and get alone with God and pray. But here's what my experience has been, and that is that there are other days when you may not feel like praying. Instead of feeling like praying, you may feel like doing something else. Amen. That is, you might feel like getting in the car and going somewhere. You might feel like just getting something to drink and sitting there in front of the TV. And maybe you just feel like going to bed because you're tired, and not, or maybe you're not feeling well, but there's just you just don't feel like praying. You say, Pastor, what do? You get alone with God and pray. You know what that's called? Discipline. It's saying no to our flesh, because I know that there's something more important, and that is praying. If you're going to practice prayer in your life, you'll have to discipline yourself to spend time alone with God no matter how you feel, whether you feel like praying or whether you don't. Listen to me now. If you don't, you'll find yourself praying less and less, and you'll find yourself someday not praying hardly at all. You'll find yourself spiritually dry on the inside, wondering why it is you're not getting blessed when you gather at church anymore. The songs don't bless you like they used to. Preaching doesn't feed you like you used to, and you're so spiritually dry on the inside. And the reason why is because you haven't been walking with God in prayer. Listen to me. If you're going to practice prayer in your life, you're going to have to discipline yourself to pray and to keep on praying, whether you feel like it or whether you don't. I'm trying to give you some, what I believe, are some practical help in the area of progressing in your prayer life. And that is, those who progress in prayer are those who understand the privilege of prayer, that this is one of the greatest privileges of my life. They also understand the priority of prayer, that prayer is one of the most important things in my life. Praying is more important than most of the other things that are in my life. They also understand the practice of prayer, and that is, if I'm going to pray, then that means that I've got to get alone with God, and I've got to spend some time alone with God, praying and seeking Him and walking with Him and experiencing Him. Let me just also say that they also understand the protection of prayer. Now, here's what I mean by that. Those who are progressing in prayer understand this, and that is that if they're going to walk with God in prayer, that they have to protect their time alone with God in prayer. You see, the reality is that there is a real enemy. That is the devil. And one of the things the devil doesn't want any of us to do, he doesn't want us to really experience God in prayer. That is, the devil's okay, I guess, with us meeting together as a church and hearing a few songs and maybe a little sermon, but he doesn't want God's people to experience God in prayer, because he knows what happens when God's people get to praying. The book of Acts reveals to us that the place began to shake where they were gathered together praying, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness in Acts 4:31. The devil knows what happens when people really begin to pray. And so one of the things that he wants to distract us from is from praying. And so if you and I are going to really experience God in prayer, we have got to protect our time alone with God, so the devil doesn't rob us of our prayer time. You see, there are basically three main avenues or ways that the devil will try to rob you of your time alone with God. First of all, there is direct attack from demons upon your life to try to distract you and to cause you not to pray. Direct demonic attack in your life. There's also distractions by the world system around us. That is, the world and the power of the air has designed a world system around us to try to distract us from our prayer life, to keep our minds so engaged in what's going on in the news. For those of you that like the what's the news, Pastor, I'm just trying to stay informed, trying to stay what's going on, keeping up on what's going on the news. Well, just catch the headlines for about 5 minutes and then shut it off and pray. Amen. Listen, if you want to do something for your country, don't be a news junkie, be a prayer warrior. And begin to pray. Pray. Seek God. Don't allow the world around you to distract you from what is most important. Don't let your favorite shows Listen, they may not even be bad shows, maybe good shows. Listen, everybody might love each other at the end of the show, and that's great. But it can be a distraction from your prayer life. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, is the world around you is trying to distract you. There are more places to go, more games to play, and things to see than there's ever been. But ladies and gentlemen, please don't let the world around you distract you from what God really wants you to experience in your life. There's direct attack from devils. There's distraction from the world system. And then there is the resistance of our own flesh. Our own flesh, our own fallen nature, our old sinful nature that would rather be lazy, our old sinful nature that is drawn to sin, to try to distract us from our time alone with God. And you have to crucify the flesh. You've got to say no to your flesh. Listen, those who are progressing in prayer know that they have to protect their time alone with God. Protecting it from other people, protecting it from other priorities, protecting it from other distractions around them. And those who don't protect their time alone with God will soon allow people and events and things to distract them from getting alone with God in prayer. And before long, their prayer life will only consist of praying on the run, and there won't be any inrush time alone with God, seeking Him in prayer. Just trying to give you some help tonight about how you can progress in your prayer life. Those who are progressing in prayer, they understand what a privilege prayer is, the privilege of prayer. They understand the priority of prayer, that this is the most important areas of my life. They understand the practice of prayer, that if I'm going to pray, I've got to get alone with God daily, get alone with God, sacrificing other things. I've got to get alone with God to pray. They understand the protection of prayer, that I've got to protect my time alone with God. I've got to protect my prayer time, or the world around me, the devil and all of his demons and my own flesh, is going to try to distract me from it. Listen, another thing they understand is this, is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And that is that God moves in mighty ways when people pray. That is, when God's people pray and keep on praying, that God begins to operate and move in a powerful way. For example, let me show you this in the book of James real quick. In the book of James, the Bible tells us in James chapter number 5 about the power of prayer. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 16. The Bible says in the last part of the verse, the little phrase I want you to see is this. It says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Bible tells us there that a man who is right with God, when he begins to pray effectually and fervently, that, listen, great things are going to start happening. God moves in great and powerful ways through the prayer lives of people who pray and keep on praying and don't stop praying. God moves and does great things through their prayer lives. Now, he gives us an example here in James chapter number 5 of a situation where God does great things when people pray. Verse 14 of that chapter says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." In other words, what the Bible says here is that one of the things that God does is that there are times whenever there are those who are sick that God heals them. And the reason why is because of righteous men that are praying, and God operates in such a way that he raises them up. If they've committed sin, if that's the reason why they're sick, it'll be forgiven them. And the reason why is because of people who have prayed. God hears the prayers of his people. He gives us the example of a man who prayed and powerful things happened here in James 5, verse 17. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he's a man just like everybody else is. But notice, the Bible says that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now, when the Bible says he prayed earnestly, that doesn't mean he just said a little prayer. It means he was seeking God in prayer. He was seeking after God. He was praying earnestly, and he prayed that it might not rain. And do you know what happened, folks? It didn't rain. As a matter of fact, the Bible says here is the space of 3 years and 6 months. In other words, for 3.5 years, it did not rain. That's been a little dry around here, hasn't it? Till this morning, anyway. But can you imagine what it'd be like not to have any rain for 3.5 years? Talking about a drought. You're talking about a desperate situation. And do you know the reason why? Is because one man, Elijah, You say he must have been a superhero. He's a man like we are, a man of like passions, because that man prayed, God, stop the rain for 3.5 years. And the Bible says in verse 18 that he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. In other words, the only reason why it started raining after 3.5 years is because he prayed again. Amen. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You say, Pastor, I'd like to see some great things happen. Listen, the only way it's going to happen is if you begin to pray earnestly. Begin to seek God in prayer. Those who are progressing in prayer, they understand that. That God does great things when His people pray. They understand the privilege of prayer. They understand the priority of prayer. They understand how to practice prayer. They understand the importance of protecting their prayer life. They understand the power of prayer. They understand the progress of prayer. Here's what I mean by that. That is, they understand that we need to really progress or move forward in this, in the area of prayer, so that our prayer life is a growing experience. That just like our Lord taught His disciples, came to Him in Luke 11 and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Those who are progressing in their prayer life are learning more about prayer and learning more about how to pray in their time alone with God. They're experiencing a growing, developing, and progressive prayer life. In other words, what I mean by this, for example, those who are learning to progress in their prayer life may be learning more about how to worship when they get alone with God in prayer. That is, instead of my prayer life just being a time when I express just my needs to God, that it becomes a time of real worship. Progressing in our prayer life means our prayer time becoming a time of worship in our life. Progressing, that is moving forward and understanding and growing in our prayer life, means that you and I need to develop an understanding of how the will of God is connected to our prayer life. We need to understand why it is that God answers people's prayers so powerfully, and it is connected to His divine will, according to 1 John chapter number 5, that we can be confident that God will hear our prayers when we pray according to His will. And so I need to find out how it is that I can know the will of God, what it is that God wants me to pray for. And in Romans 8, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God intercedes for us according to the will of God. There's something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life and heart of the believer that enables them to be able to know the mind and the will of God and what it is they need to be praying for, so that when we pray according to the will of God, God does great and mighty things. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what you mean. That's what I'm saying. We need to progress in our prayer life, don't we? So that we do begin to understand what those passages mean. We need to learn what it means to pray with faith. We need to learn what it means when Jesus says something like this in Mark chapter number 11. Jesus said, whenever you pray, if you'll believe, when you pray, if you'll believe, you will receive. It was the occasion whenever Jesus cursed the fig tree. And when they came back the next day, the fig tree was dried up from the roots. In other words, it wasn't that the fig tree was dying, but the next day, the appearance of the fig tree was such that it looked like it had been dead for years. In other words, this was not a natural process. It was a divine miracle. That thing looked like the tree that was alive the day before, looked like the next day it had been dead for years, dried up from the roots. And the Bible says that the disciples were so amazed that Jesus did that. And Jesus told them, if you'll just have faith in God, if you'll just believe and have faith, you can even see greater things. You could say to a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would happen. Because whoever prays believing, whatever you desire in prayer believing, God will do it. And I don't know about you, but I want to discover more about what kind of faith that is. What kind of faith is that? That is, what is the connection between my prayer life and faith? And the Bible indicates to us what that is. It teaches us, but that's an area of our life that we need to investigate so we can grow and so that we can progress in our prayer lives. That's right. You say, Pastor, I want to be able to walk with God in prayer. You need to discover the role of the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. Read Romans chapter number 8 and you'll find out the importance of the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. Understanding what it means to pray the Scriptures and His promises when we pray. Listen, we need to understand the connection between our prayer life and spiritual warfare. Listen to me. The key to experiencing victory over demonic traffic and activity in your life is your prayer life. Listen, spiritual warfare is won or lost in your prayer closet.
That's right. There are demons that are out to destroy you and your family. Wreck your marriage, destroy you and your testimony. Trying to destroy the minds of your children so that they will not hear the gospel even when they're hearing the gospel. What every child needs, what every wife needs, is a man in the home who knows how to walk with God in prayer. That's right. And to protect their family, that is, as a connection between his prayer life and spiritual warfare that is taking place in that home. It's same true in the church as well, church leaders. And that is, the devil would do everything he could to destroy the witness and testimony of this church and any other church that's trying to preach the gospel. And listen to me now. There is a connection between the prayer lives of the men and leaders of this church and our victory over that spiritual warfare. Every church needs men and women who know how to get a hold of God in prayer. We need to discover that connection. And learn. What I'm trying to get you to see is that those who are progressing in their prayer life, they understand that their prayer life needs to progress, that they need to grow in their prayer life, that we're not just sort of in a ditch here, and that this is all that that prayer amounts to. That there are other, that there's areas of my prayer life that God wants to reveal to me and grow me in, so that I can become a real prayer warrior. Are y'all still with me? Have you got just a few more minutes? All right, a few of you do. The rest of you, just listen, okay? All right. Those who are progressing in prayer, I just got one more point, I think. Those who are progressing in prayer, here's what they understand. They understand the privilege of prayer, what a privilege this is. They understand the priority of prayer. This is the most important area of my life. They understand how to practice prayer by getting alone with God and seeking Him in prayer. They understand the protection of their prayer life, how important it is to protect it from the enemy around us. They understand the power of prayer, that God does great things and He does it through the prayer lives of individuals. They understand the progress of prayer, that there are areas in our life where God wants to grow me. Listen, that God wants to grow me in my prayer life. One of the most exciting areas of the Christian life is discovering the new avenues and the new ways that God wants to grow us in our prayer life. And then finally, they also understand the purpose of prayer. Those who are progressing in their prayer life understand why it is that they ought to pray. The purpose of prayer. Why should I be spending this time alone with God in prayer? You say, Pastor, what is it? What is the reason why? Well, so you can have fellowship with God. The Bible says, Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, He said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him, or fellowship with him, and he with me. Now, that's not talking to the lost. It's talking to the church, believers. And Jesus is saying, listen, I want to fellowship with you. And I'm knocking at the door, but you got to open it up. You say, well, how do you open the door? Well, I believe one of the ways that we open the door is by getting alone with God in prayer. The reason why we ought to pray, the purpose of prayer, is so that we can have fellowship with God. It's also so that we can experience protection from the devil. You see, not only do you and I need to protect our prayer life from the devil, but our prayer life protects us from the devil as well. Remember when Jesus was talking about the whole armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God? At the end of that whole section where he talked about the whole armor of God, there's a verse number 18, and he tells us there that you and I need to be seeking God in prayer. After we get done putting on the armor, then it is time to pray. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the keys to experiencing victory over the devil is indeed by praying, getting alone with God in prayer. So we can experience fellowship with God. The reason why we need to pray is so we can experience protection from the devil. The reason why we need to pray is so that we can be intercessors for others. That's right, so that we can pray for one another. Listen, Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible tells us that. Let me just read the verse to you real quick so that you can hear it yourself. Ephesians 6, the Bible says, praying always, in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, staying awake thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's talking about God's people that are praying for one another. One of the reasons why that you ought to be praying is because there are people that need you to pray for them. That's right. People right here, right now in this room that need somebody to be praying for them. And God will operate in their life in response to it if you'll do it. That's right. You know, the great thing about prayer is that you can touch somebody's life on the other side of the world without going there.
Yeah. It may be somebody you know. Maybe you're sitting there watching the news and you hear the news about somebody. You've never met them before, but God just burdens your heart. And you just get to praying for them. You say, Pastor, that seems a little odd to me. God will touch their life if you'll pray for them. One of the reasons why you and I ought to pray, the purpose of prayer, is so that we can intercede for others. Fourthly, is so that we can be empowered for ministry. Jesus said that you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And do you know when the Spirit's power showed up is when they were gathered together in prayer. Whether you look in Acts 2 in the upper room, whether you look in Acts 4 when they're gathered together after persecution, when they had prayed, I tell you, the Spirit of God showed up and filled them up, and they went out and spoke the Word of God with boldness. If you want to have power, spiritual power, you're going to have to learn how to pray. Fifthly, is so that we can have revival in our culture. One of the greatest needs that we have in our land is real spiritual awakening. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll never happen if God's people do not pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Listen to me. The only way that we'll ever progress and move forward as a church and as individuals is if you and I learn how to pray. The devil is doing everything he can to stop Bible-believing churches. And the only way to break through that is prayer. Let me give you a closing example, and I'll quit, okay? Acts chapter number 12. The Bible tells us there that there was a wicked, ungodly ruler named Herod. And he was trying to please the Jews. He wanted to be in good favor as a politician. And so he decided that what he was going to do was, in order to please them, that he was going to kill James. That is the brother of John. Remember the sons of Zebedee? And he decided that he would execute him, and that would make the Jews happy. And so he did. He killed James. The Bible says he killed him with a sword. And the Jews were so happy. The Jewish leaders were so happy with Herod. And if there was an election, that it would all voted for him. Amen. I mean, that's what he wanted. And so he decided that if that made him happy, then how much more happy would they be if he killed Peter? So he arrested him. And he put him in jail. And I want you to think about it for just a minute. I mean, who is it that has been that man who has stood on the day of Pentecost and preached that message? On that day, in Acts chapter number 2, it was this man named Peter. God's leader among the people. James is already dead, and now Peter is in jail, and apparently his execution is near at hand. It's in the middle of the night, and you know what the church decided to do? Everything is on the line. That's right. The devil is trying to destroy the leadership of that church, of those believers, in the early days by killing their leaders. And so they know that everything's on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, they got alone, they got in a house, and they began to pray. I love what the Bible says about that. The Bible says, and after he had put him into jail, the Bible says in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They got together and they got to praying. I have a feeling it wasn't one of those quick little prayer meetings, but the Bible says when they prayed without ceasing. They just kept on praying and they kept on praying. Somebody said, "Aren't we getting a little hungry?" And they said, "Let's keep on praying." Amen. Somebody said, "It's about midnight." And others said, "Let's keep on praying." Somebody said, "I'm getting tired." And they said, "Don't do like Peter did in the garden. Don't go to sleep. Let's keep on praying." And somebody said, "Well, the kids are getting sleepy. We'll let them lay down, but the adults keep on praying." I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that must have been what it was like, because they're not any different than what we are. Somebody said, "But I got to get up tomorrow morning. I got to get on home." Somebody said, "Don't worry about it. Keep on praying." And they just got to praying, and they kept on praying, and they kept on praying. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter's in jail. And listen, everything is on the line. The devil, through Herod, is trying to destroy the witness and the testimony and bring down the leadership of that church. And those folks got together, most of whom we never will know their names. They got together, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And pretty soon, there was a knock at the door. Yeah, there he is. Now, a little girl went to open the door, and it was Peter, and she went and said, "Hey, he is here," and nobody believed him. I mean, to tell you, they thought, no, surely not. It was so unbelievable. They couldn't believe that God would answer that fast, that quick. But I tell you, he did. You know what he did? You remember the story. God sent an angel into that jail.
broke Peter out of jail. Chains that held him bound there, that were, the angel loosed him, said, "Let's go, Peter." Had to wake him up. He was asleep. Had to wake him up. Peter thought he couldn't figure out. He was so disoriented, he couldn't figure out. He's like I am when I get woke up in the middle of the night. If you ever call me in the middle of the night to talk to me or something going on in your life, if I seem a little disoriented, it's because I am. When I wake up out of sleep. Matter of fact, most of the time my wife will try to get to the phone before I do. Amen. Yeah. And Peter was kind of like that. He didn't know if he was awake or dreaming or what was going on until he got outside of the jail. And finally, he got woke up enough to realize that an angel just showed up and broke him out of jail. It's an amazing story, isn't it? God did a great thing that night. That's right. So that church could keep moving forward. So those believers could continue to grow. And the reason why is because of these people who got together and prayed. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they kept on praying. And listen, they did not stop until God heard and God answered. Now listen, that's what God's calling these people to be. That's what church is about. God's people walking with Him, experiencing Him, the reality of His presence in their lives in prayer. Now let me ask you this question and I'll close. And that is God trying to grow you in your prayer life? Is He? The great revivals that have happened in this country have been because of people who pray. It's been said before Charles Finney ever went to a town, a city, a town to hold revival meetings during the Great Awakening, that he would send one man there, a man by the last name of Nash, and he would send him into those towns, and he would go and he would find him a room somewhere, just a single little room somewhere, weeks before the meeting started, and he would get into that room. He had hardly come out of that room, and he would just spend hours and hours, day after day and week after week in prayer. By the time Charles Finney got there, God was already moving in those places. And when he began to preach, the Spirit of God moved in powerful ways. I believe God's looking for some men like that, who'll pray like that, who'll give themselves to experience God in prayer, to break through demonic strongholds in communities and families through prayer, and see God begin to move in ways that only God can do, because folks have prayed through until God answered. Is He calling to you that kind of a lifestyle? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're trying to say to us. God, I pray, Father, that You'll encourage Your people, Father, not to just feel guilty, but God, to be encouraged about this great privilege that we have to walk with You and experience You in prayer. Would You grow us in this area of our lives for Your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.